Seeking the Wise Whys.
With Aaron and Alexander discussing the Just Philosophy.
Covering self-development, emotional processing, conscious relationships, and five levels of overall wellness.
Welcome to the Wise Wise Podcast. I am Aaron Keith. Thank you for joining me on this gorgeous spring day. We are having spring showers here in Tennessee, and I invite you to stay along for my conversation where I will be reflecting on the episode titled How to Practice Spirituality While Doing the Inner Work. This was a pretty lengthy episode, over an hour, but Alexander and I dove into the parts of the philosophy that touch upon building and creating and inviting more spirituality into our lives. I think up until that point, it wasn't 100% clear where that was. In a lot of other philosophies or opinions or shared ideas that a lot of spiritual leaders share, or books, even books out there, or systems, a lot of kind of spirituality is from sensationalism, is from language being used to create kind of this Neptune-ish Pisces view of the world, where you're just kind of kind of in awe, but and that is a good part of it. In the practice is being in awe, but it, to me, in my experience, it has been somewhat from the spirituality sect of our culture's point of view. It has been very ungrounding and not tied into logic. But I think that was kind of the whole purpose, or why people gravitate towards that, is because they want another way to look at life away from a logic point of view, because that's kind of what our culture is based on. You know, all business, money, that's all logic. It's all grounded. It can create a lot of frustration when the magic of the world has been ripped from you know, your lives, from your perspectives, from your worldviews. I think this is why I resonated so early on in my life with these types of topics. So just to rewind a little bit, I grew up Catholic, and my incarnation cross within the human design is around laws. It's around creating structures and laws. So I'm a very structure-minded person, and I need structure to feel safe, I guess. That's a simple way to put it. And when the Catholic Church was telling me to repress parts of, you know, natural development, and as a growing human throughout puberty, making me fear certain things, I kind of took that, you know, to an extreme, because I'm a rule follower in a way, or I was back then. I didn't want to go to hell, you know, so who does? But that can cause a lot of consequences. There's a cost to that. As a teen, I was very angry. And then it wasn't until my early 20s when I was introduced to Sylvia Brown. I'm not sure many of you might know who she is. She put out a lot of books. She has passed, I think, a good handful amount of years ago, but she was always on the one of those talk shows, Montel, where she was a psychic, and she would share things. And I'm not here to get into whether she was really a psychic or how proficient she was as a psychic, but just reading her books really ignited me, ignited more of a desire to live more fruitfully. I know that sounds weird, but it did, because it gave me a non-depressive, a non-fearful view of the world. And I was I remember reading her books and I'm wow, I resonate with a lot of what she's saying. And this isn't what everybody else follows, but some people you know, some people believe this. So at least there's another view out there that's different from what I was taught. And so do I really need to follow this Catholic view? If I don't, you know, it's just creating fear in me. I don't like it. And I'm not, and I'm not saying like, so Catholics are wrong because I have that view. I'm just sharing my perspective and my opinion. But that did cause me to kind of pull away from it because I was like, well, I resonate much more with this. This feels better in my body. I'm not at odds with myself all the time. And that's not to say that I'm just going to, you know, go out and start sinning, you know, in the eyes of the church. But I knew what was right and wrong. I'm a rule follower and I love justice. So that argument that if you don't go to church, then you don't have values, that is not applicable to me anyway. So that's how I got into my original, what I would call spiritual journey, but it was really just seeing the world from a different way outside of like organized religion. And so I was kind of entertained by that a little bit. And that kind of opened up my mind to eventually, you know, 16 years ago, getting into conspiracy. So it's probably like 3 years after, you know, being introduced to Sylvia Brown that I fell down the rabbit hole into conspiracy stuff. And, but through that, I would say within the last 8 years, because since I met Alexander and, you know, I started working on myself, I became more interested in the commonalities between organized religion, specifically Christianity, and the philosophy, basically, or even just like concepts of spirituality, different concepts. So I know this is kind of a struggle with language because I feel like spirituality, the term has been co-opted and it now means something that's different in a way where people have built associations, and even I have associations where that term doesn't mean what it used to or doesn't hold the weight that it should. Because to me, when I reference like the spiritual groups or whatever like that, it's mostly the people who are running away from something. And again, like I would classify like myself, I was a part of that sect of culture where, you know, they're like the good vibes only, always positive. You need to accept me as my authentic self. It's that type of thing where those are good ideas, but I see them now as the other polarity. So they don't like one polarity, so they're running to another polarity. So they're going from one unbalanced way of looking at the world to another unbalanced way of looking at the world, another non-neutral way. Because the neutral way would be accepting that there are bad vibes and there are good vibes, and neither one is worse than the other. Both have a purpose here, and the acceptance of that is where the power is. But if you're only in good vibes only, then how are you reacting when bad vibes come in? You know, are you, you're kind of withdrawn from the world and you're not in reality, because if you're ignoring or you can't, you know, handle bad vibes, then, you know, that's part of reality. So anyway, so I realize that the term spirituality may trigger some in certain ways. And again, like it's sometimes does for me, depending on how it's being used. So, but I'm using it in its like kind of raw term, which is kind of in my, what I would say, it's the connection between myself and spirit or source or the universe, the higher power, whatever that is. And that can look like different things to different people. But for me, as I've grown through my life, you know, through Sylvia Brown, through conspiracies, coming back to the only true conspiracy is the constant pull of your attention to the external versus the internal. I think that is the one true conspiracy, where like everything in our reality is constantly pulling us out and you know, not teaching us to go internal so that we're always reacting and not responding and not in touch with ourselves. And so many people don't know who they actually are. And if you don't know who you are, then how are you operating? You're kind of just operating on subconscious, and all the subconscious is just all the stuff that you've been taught, manipulated into believing through fear, through our emotions, through our environment, through our parents, through our TV, through our social media. So it's important to go internal to experience life, really. Otherwise, you're just experiencing what other people, corporations, governments want you to experience. So the more that I've incorporated the Just philosophy into my life, and specifically working on my spirituality, the more I've come to terms with what spirituality actually is, because I used to be confused. Like, again, like in when I was in the spiritual culture, I guess that's how I'll define it going forward, spiritual culture. Spirituality was like a hope or an expectation that things would be better at some point in the future. And that is addicting, because you can kind of like, you know, I mean, even in Christian churches, people put their hands up and they close their eyes, and in that feeling, like you can ignite that feeling. But that was a similar feeling to what I would feel when I would tap into like hope. And so when I talk about spiritual culture now, hopium comes up, because I feel like so many people get lost in hopium. They think that it's like the connection with the divine. And I think on some level it is, but it's like tweaked into expectation, and it's not a pure, because a pure is neutral. And then you wouldn't be in the future, because you would be in the now. So I don't think you can be connected to source, but be in the future, you know? So, because I think by definition, if source, God, universe, if all of that is just that love energy, love is in the now. It's not in the past. It's not in the future. It's in the now. It's neutral. So anytime an emotion comes up, your future focused, to me, that's not God. So anyway, I've come around to understanding that this is all trust. It's all, I guess I'll pose a question to you guys. You guys love your parents, right? Your mother, your father, you love them, and you didn't get to choose them, just from our logic point of view. Of course, I know there's some people who think that we choose our soul family, and I'm not saying that I don't believe that or I do, but just for the sake of this question, we didn't get to choose that. We didn't get to choose logically while we're in this life, our parents. But growing up, we had to rely on them. We had to trust them to show us the way to live, for food, for safety, for security, to change our diaper. Like, we had to trust them. And unfortunately, some people couldn't trust their parents, and that created a lot of trauma. But I think part of just the human development of the human psyche, of the mind, of a lot of the emotional body as it's growing throughout its years, we have to trust our parents to show us the way. And if our parents aren't neutral in the way that they interact with others, then we're going to pick up on that. And we could do the same thing, or usually it's either we do the same thing they do, or we do the exact opposite because we're in resistance to what they did. So my whole point is about trust. And this is how I have grown into my idea of spirituality, where source, the universe, I usually use the universe, but I know other people prefer different terms. So I want to be, I want to try to hit on them all, but realize I can't. But just replace, when I say universe, just replace with God, source, whatever you prefer. But I have to trust on the universe, because I can't see my life path. I don't know what I'm supposed to do from step by step. I think part of the joy in this life is uncovering that, uncovering, you know, my next step. It reminds me, if anybody has played video games out there, it reminds me of I used to play Warcraft back in the day, but it's like a strategy game. So you like build a town, and then you could build like fighter people or peasants. And when you create a peasant, then you can assign them jobs to build more towns and to upgrade and stuff like that. And then eventually you go and you explore the map. But right away, the map is dark everywhere around your town. But as you go explore, the dark clouds kind of move out because your guy's there. So then you can see what's going on. And then once you explore a part, it's never dark anymore. You can still see what's there. You just can't see what's currently going on. But anyway, my point is that I see life kind of like that, where we can't see what's up ahead. So like our only choice is to trust, right? Trust in the same way that we trusted our parents to show us the way, to give us the clues. Of course, we were children, so we couldn't really like understand what we were doing with the trust, but we did it naturally because that's just how we're made as a species, because that's very integral to our development. So I'm trusting that source has my best interests in mind, whatever that is. Even if that means that I pass on tomorrow, that was part of my plan. And like, I can't resist that, because if that's going to happen, it's going to happen. I think that that's proven, that when it's somebody's time to go, an asteroid will fall on them, you know, if they try to avoid it, whatever it is. So it's kind of trusting in that connection, or that showing of the way, that I don't know what's going to be happening in my life, but I trust that I'm going to unravel that, and it's going to be in my best interest. And part of that is listening to my inner calling. And this is something that I've had to develop over, and I didn't even like consciously choose to develop it in a way, but it has happened just by practicing this philosophy. And I think we even did an episode years ago where I was talking about, we did it on intuition, and I was saying that I don't know if I even have intuition. I want to work on that. And I want to say it's been several years since then, and I feel like I've really started to tap into that. I think I've had to work on a lot of layers in order to get to a point where I could sense and listen to my subtle energy or the subtlety of my body, my spirit on that level. And so when I tell people that, you know, I just moved here because I moved to Tennessee last year in 2023, people ask me, oh, why did you move here? And I don't have an answer for them. You know, even people who are fans of the podcast ask me why I moved away. I don't have an answer for them, because I don't know. I just know that years before I moved, I started feeling like I had to move. I just started feeling like I shouldn't be there. And there were several times when I was like, I'm going to put the house on the market. And then something would happen, or I would just change my mind. And I was like, okay, well, not now. And I think I did that for about 3 or 4 years. And then finally, I had committed to staying there because a neighbor of mine and another neighbor, we were all kind of joining together to start kind of like a conscious community where, you know, we would garden individually. One lady had animals like chickens and sheep and stuff. So we were all going to like share and help each other out. So I dove in and I was like, okay, I want to do that. You know, I'm here for that. I'm going to stay here. And then circumstances happened where she had to move. And then once she kind of backed out, I knew instantly that I was leaving too. Cause that, I don't know if I was just looking for a reason. I mean, I was looking to make a decision, but once she was leaving, I was like that. I knew instantly that I had to leave, or that I was going to. So that's just my calling. That's just my internal it's like under my solar plexus. That's where I feel it. And you know, being a generator, that's kind of where we are supposed to respond to life. And that's how we listen to our gut, is how we respond to life. Sometimes we have to ask somebody a question to get their answer, to know how we feel about something. And it's not about what they say in response. It's how we feel to what they say. So they could say that, like, if I'm designing a logo and I don't know how I feel about it, I can show it to somebody and ask them, you know, do you like this logo? Does it, you know, incorporate these elements? Does it make you feel like this? And if they say no, then it's all based on how I feel. I could say, yeah, you're right, in my gut, stomach. Or I could say, nah, that doesn't feel right. And so I will know, even if they say yes. Again, if they say yes and I'm like, nah, then I know it's a no. But if they say yes and I'm like, yeah, then I know it's a yes. So it has no impact on what they actually say. It's just responding to that situation. So you're setting it up. You're setting yourself up for a response. So I've really incorporated that into my life. So moving here has been part of me listening. It's been a whole big trust thing because, again, I knew nobody in this area, nobody. And I'm just trusting that I'm supposed to be here for some reason. I was drawn to this area of Tennessee because I would drive through on the highway and I would see the area and I just felt called to be here. And it just started like that. And I trust that I'm here for a reason. Now, I don't know what that reason is. I don't know if I've already fulfilled that. I mean, I've made some friends. I've got back into bowling. Like, we don't know. But part of the wonder of this life is to uncover that, is to live more childlike and in curiosity of what the next day brings. And, you know, okay, well, I'm here. I moved. I did what was called for me. Now, like, you know, bringing in the fun of, like, you know, why am I here? You know, maybe it's this. I mean, you don't want to get lost in that, but like, you can evoke some of that childlike spirit in discovering possibly reasons why you're here. And maybe there's not going to be like a bam, like this is the reason. Maybe it won't be. But at the very least, this will be a step towards something, towards my ultimate life, you know, whatever it is, no matter how small, it is still a step towards something because I've trusted. Now, I think that if I stayed where I was, I would just have a lot of friction in my stomach. And I know I would. I know that when I don't heed the call, it causes a lot of internal stress for me. So I wanted to also share some of the views that I've had around prayer and spirituality. And this isn't to knock anybody's religion. My family's Christian. I have friends that are Christian, and they've actually helped me out a lot by discussing Christianity and my views and seeing the differences and the similarities. And through all of this, through my spiritual practice, and through working with the philosophy around acceptance, polarity, the number one pillar, you know, everything's in divine order, I've had some of these like aha moments where I'm looking at the world and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this makes sense. And I just wanted to share them because it may help some people out there. And again, like, I'm not saying this is wrong in any way. I'm not judging it, but I'm just pointing out some of the logic things that I question in some of these practices. And they may help some of you. They've definitely helped me shape when I find myself praying for something or in some situation, I keep myself in check now because of some of these things I've realized. So one is, I've noticed there's a difference in prayer. And there could be more types, but I'm just going to share two that I've realized. And again, like, I haven't really dove way deep into this, but I feel like some people are praying to change something, an event, or a, you know, like an experience, they're trying to change something, or they're praying for, well, I guess three, maybe, because like change or wanting to get something, which could be directly connected to changing something because they don't have something, so they want something. Or there's praying for like love and acceptance to come in. And I think there's a big difference between those. Some of you may already since I defined it that way, you may already see where I'm going with this. But I've noticed that when there's a tragic event that happens, where let's say that somebody gets into a car accident and they're on life support, and the doctor doesn't know if they're going to make it, and they post it on social media, and this is like what I've observed, and people, you know, post thoughts and prayers, praying that he makes it. You know, this is such a horrific event. I can't believe this happened, blah, blah, blah. So you get a lot of that. And I get it. People, nobody wants car accidents to happen. Nobody wants death to happen. Nobody wants trauma to happen. I get that. But at the very core, that's a part of this reality. And if you're in resistance to that stuff happening, then you're in duality because you're judging it and saying that it's wrong to happen. So when people say, I'm praying for him to make it, I've really sat with that because the intention, I love the intention of that person. They don't want their friend who is experiencing this trauma to go through a horrific event. So they have a good intention in mind. But again, the divine knows what's best for us. And so if that person is supposed to go through that, they're going to go through it. So where I've questioned this is when you're trying to change an event by saying, this is wrong, this is horrific, I'm praying to change this, I'm praying to save this person, I'm praying so that they survive. What if it's not in their cards to survive? What if they survive, they have no legs and no feet and they're just in horrific pain for the rest of their lives? There's so many variables there. But my point is that by praying for an experience to change or by praying for something that is wrong to be righted, we are in doubt of the divine. We are questioning the divine. We are essentially saying that you don't know what's right. I know what's right. You don't know what's right. But my understanding of the definition of faith or even the first pillar is everything's in divine order. God's in control here. People say that all the time. God's in control. Jesus, take my steering wheel. So we can't be in alignment with the divine and trust that God's in control or that everything is in divine order if we're then contradicting ourselves and stating that this is wrong. You know, God, you need to handle this. You know, you need to save this person. You know, praying to change the situation is in contradiction to these views. And I've just been pointing this out because I've noticed that I've done this as a child, you know, growing up, praying to get things for Christmas, praying for, you know, when I was a teen, praying for a relationship to work out or for this person to like me. All of that stuff goes against this. I mean, to me, it's a knowing, I would just say this practice of faith. Because if your faith is that God's in control, everything's in divine order, God knows best, then why are we questioning God? Why are we questioning these people's life paths? That is what I'm confused about here. And that goes along with like praying to get things. Like, I don't think that's a pure use of prayer. If you're, you know, if you want to establish that, like, that sort of like respect and relationship with that energy. So if I say something about praying, or if I see somebody going through something, I will be very intentional with my words now. And I will shift it to, I'm sending my love energy for your family for optimal acceptance around this situation. Because that's actually what I would be praying for. It would be to help and assist these people into finding acceptance, because that is going to alleviate the suffering. The suffering comes from the judgment that this isn't right. It's the same judgment as those types of prayer. When people are suffering, they're creating it in their mind in this situation. And I'm just saying, like, they're resisting what's happening. And again, like, there's no fault. Like, when somebody dies close to you, like, I'm going to go through it. Even though I've tried to work on this, there's no preparation for death other than death. And so all these thoughts come in when somebody passes, or, you know, that was close to you, and you're going to question, you're going to be in resistance. And I'm not blaming them for being in that. I'm just saying that that resistance is at the root of that suffering. And obviously we can't root all that out. You know, as much as I practice, as much as Alexander practices, if somebody close to him, I mean, not that he hasn't been through enough death, but if somebody close to him passed, he would still go through the emotions of that, and to not be in judgment, but of course he's going to come to acceptance faster because he's had a lot of practice. But that lack of acceptance and that lack of doubt, questioning, you know, the divine is at the root of that suffering. And so my thought was that people practice faith in hard times, and that's what helps get them through hard times. And a car accident of a loved one would be a hard time in my definition of that. But it seems like, just from my observation, that I see a lot of people who, in the hardest of times, they're clueless. They don't know what to do because they've just doubted God. They've doubted the divine. They've doubted the universe. They are in, or they're not in, acceptance. And so they're questioning what they know, because they probably have gotten to a state of acceptance of what was happening around them, and then this comes in and they're just not able to understand it fast. And so again, like, we've all been there, and we all will be there again. But the whole point of practicing faith is to have it when you're in when you're going through challenging times, and that connection to source should be that's your faith, in my opinion. That's your faith right there. And if we doubt God in the toughest moments, then we have no faith, do we? I mean, that, I guess that's a question. Do we have faith? I would say no, but maybe there are other ways of practicing faith that I'm not aware of. And again, this is just my opinion, just my observations that I've come to, because all of this has strengthened my faith and strengthened my knowing into my practice of trusting. Of people ask me, like, you know, again, like, what are you doing in Tennessee? And I'm like, I'll know it when I do it. And sometimes, like, I know that the house I'm in isn't my forever home. I just know. I know it. And I don't know when I'm moving. I don't know when that's going to happen. When it's time, it will happen. And I will be there, open to it. I think that's the whole point, is being open to where you're supposed to be. And I think everybody is where they are in this very moment, but there's a way to learn from life that will get you to your path quicker, I think. because the more we resist changing and going to our life path, we've talked about this before, the further, like we talk about free will, and I remember we kind of did this like visual of a path, and in between like major points of our life path, we have areas where we could possibly have free will, where we would kind of wander off. But at some point we had to snap back to our path. And so the further we get off, the harder that snap is going to be. And we've, Alexander and I have talked about this. This is where the universe has to do something drastic to wake us up. And that's where the sudden car accidents come from, or the tragic accidents where like somebody loses a leg, or like just something to snap us back on our path, or to snap us back into the now, into acceptance, into, you know, whatever it is that we've been resisting forever and not getting the signs. The universe, God, just keeps getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And the longer we go without listening, the harsher the costs, I think. And, you know, maybe that's something for you guys to mull over. Again, we've talked about it before. So if you're a longtime listener, all this or a lot of this probably isn't new stuff, but this is just what I've kind of been going through and what has helped strengthen my spirituality. My spirituality isn't about hopium, isn't about being in the clouds, because love is like a state. It's not, love is like grounded and here at the same time. Love is everything. And God is love to me. God is love. The divine is love. The universe is love. So being in love is being in the now. And when we get emotional, that takes us out of the now and we're no longer connected to the divine. So that's why we do this practice, is so we can stay in that connection for as long as possible. And then when we get taken out of it for various reasons, because we're humans, we live in this world, we're going to be pulled out of it. It helps us to be the most efficient to get back there. And again, this isn't about being resistance of being, you know, pulled out of it. That's just life. But it's like, how fast can we get back? How efficient can we get back? How can we, and it's not a race too. Like I'm saying efficient, just by practicing. Like I could say the most efficient of pumping a 5 pound weight. Of course, like when you first start doing it, you're going to be slower, but you know, a bodybuilder is going to be more efficient at it. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like we're not in resistance of doing it, but we're still doing it. It's just, you're able to move through stuff faster, process stuff, faster, but still properly. So this has been a long episode. I didn't mean for it to be that long, but one of my favorite things that Alexander said in that episode was urgency is not of spirit. And anytime you're in like anxiety, you're in stress, you're in frustration, that's my big one, where I'm like pushing time, where I'm thinking that I don't have enough time or I didn't plan enough time. All of this causes unneeded emotion, unneeded stress, unneeded anxiety. All of this pulls us out of that love vibration. And that's something that I'm working on as well. So anyway, I thank you guys for joining me. I'm going to wrap it up there. And I know this has been a little long, a little lengthy, but I'm so glad that you decided to join me. And here's some of my thought processes, my observations around spirituality. I hope that maybe it can open a perspective for you guys to maybe look at your own connection with the divine, your own spirituality, if you choose to use that word, your own faith, and see, you know, where maybe you do some of these things, or where maybe you don't do some of these things. Maybe there are some differences. And if there are, I implore you to please share them in the comments, in our Facebook group. I would love to hear more about your faith practices and anything or any observations that you guys have had that could help me, could help other people. please don't be shy. There could be something that you want to share and that it's the exact thing that other people need to hear. And that's how the divine works through us for each other. So I'm really about that. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And until the next episode, keep journeying. Thank you for listening to this free version of the Wise Wise podcast. To hear the complete conversation and go deeper into the application of the tools and techniques of the Just Philosophy, head on over to wisewisepodcast.com and become a premium member. You'll get to hear all of our complete conversations, including the complete episodes of our Inward Journey story series and our entire back catalog, and continue your self-development journey with us. We honor your dedication to self-growth, overall wellness, and continuing to ask the wise wise.
And remember, gradual changes over long periods of time equals lasting results.
Continue on your self-growth journey by visiting thejustphilosophy.com, where you are able to connect personally by booking a private consultation with Alexander in person, by phone, or Zoom. Uncover your authentic self more easily with a human design or destiny card consultation. Here you will gain information about your energetic makeup, personality, and your higher self, as well as navigating your way through your relationships. There are also multiple types of reports available for purchase that help you gain insight into your career, relationships, and opportunities for self-growth. The site also allows you to view a calendar of Alexander's live performances and class schedule, peruse other products such as shirts, CDs, and finally, the revolutionary VibroTune vibrational sound therapy tables. These contoured therapy tables allow you to bathe in a vibrational sonic bath of frequencies, bringing you into alignment on all levels. You will be feeling and hearing calming music synced through vibration and frequency. So again, you can grab all this goodness at thejustphilosophy.com, thejustphilosophy.com. The Just Philosophy, as discussed in this podcast, has been developed by Alexander over the last 25 years in his personal studies, private practice, and professional environment. The information discussed is intended for educational purposes only and is not meant as a replacement for conventional medicine. Just remember, knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. Seek the wise. We want to thank you for working on you. Keep shining your light and refining your vibe.